Gentlemen, welcome. Welcome, listeners.
Good to
welcome
be here.
Welcome to Wasted Pitch. How's it going tonight, guys?
Going well.
Fan-fucking-tastic.
Yeah? Good. Yeah. I'm glad to hear you guys are having a great fucking night.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's going on, Nick?
Well, you know, I'm just a little grumpy tonight. Okay. Also, big news out of Kansas City. Big unfortunate news out of Kansas City. Breaking news, as they call it.
I got it. I know what it is. Can I say it?
Yeah.
Chiefs signed Carson Wentz, right?
Oh, no. I don't care about that. That's fine. And no, it's not the Chiefs wide receiver that wrecked his fucking car in Dallas.
Rashee Rice.
Bigger news than that. Bigger news than that. There was a vote today. There was a vote in Kansas City on whether or not they were going to extend the sales tax to fund a new downtown stadium.
Yep.
And it appears that vote has failed.
Really?
Really.
So what does that mean? What's...
Like in a landslide, like it's an ass kicking.
Really?
Yeah. It can mean a lot of things. We don't know yet. We'll find out in the near future, I would assume. It could have some pretty serious repercussions for both the Royals and the Chiefs because it involved both of those teams. Mm. I have a feeling, this is just my thought, I think the Chiefs are either just going to stay there and like pay for a few more upgrades because they
wasn't part of the bill that didn't pass the Chiefs getting like $800 million in upgrades. To put towards
that upgrade? That was part of it. They were going to upgrade their facilities. They were going to build like a little, you know, extra stadium concourse around the area where the Royals were leaving. But now that's not happening, they could move to the Kansas side of Kansas City. I think the Royals are going to leave. I think they're going to go.
That would be crazy time.
I think they're going to do what the Athletics did. I think it's going to happen.
And just find like Nashville and make more money there or something?
Yep. I guarantee by tomorrow morning, there are going to be two other cities that have submitted plans to John Sherman saying, hey,
come on down.
The people in your city don't want to make their city better, but we want to make our city better.
Wow. So,
yeah, I think it's going to happen. I think you watch this year, the Royals are going to the management, the upper management is going to stop giving a shit. Not that they've given that much of a shit, but they, I think this year they tried to put forth the look that they were giving a shit by, you know, signing Witt for like a 13-year deal, bringing in all these guys,
all those pitchers.
I think it's gone. All-star break, get rid of them, and then they're just going to fucking tank for the next 3 years or whatever it is.
Until so plan B was like a new stadium even farther out than where they're at now or something like that? Or
so plan B, they don't have a plan B. There is no plan B. Plan A was build a downtown stadium. Plan B is to live out the rest of their days at their current stadium and then... Who knows what to do after that? So,
wow.
I would 100% be, or I would definitely not be surprised if they were like, you know what? We're going to go to Nashville or Austin or, you know, whatever other city is looking to get a baseball team.
That is just crazy.
Yeah. Kind of dumb. Kind of dumb.
Not what I expected. I thought they'd be all about it.
Yeah, I mean, the crazy thing is that they had it at like a weird election time. I mean, I guess, you know, I would have rather had them do it on a ballot that's like the November ballot or something like that, or, you know. But I guess because the voter turnout was piss poor.
Oh, geez.
So, anyway.
Well, shit.
I'm grumpy.
The Royals. Yeah, you are grumpy.
Yeah.
I'd be grumpy too.
So anyway, back to normal life. Opening week is done. How are you guys feeling about your teams? You guys had a series split.
Yeah. Kind of surprising.
Surprising for the Mariners or surprising for the Red Sox, Nick? How did you feel about it?
I don't know. Kind of surprising for the Red Sox, I guess. I didn't expect them to pull two out of their A's, out of their asses.
Yeah.
But good for them, you know? They put up a fight.
It was a good series. They competed. I mean, I think the biggest issue was like, I think you guys committed a few more errors and just kind of some dumb fielding plays. And well, you know, we took advantage. Sure.
Yeah.
But it was a fun series.
Good. Did you watch most of those games? Did you guys watch it together? Did you have like a little party?
No. I watched the beginning of all the games.
Because they're so late for you.
He was asleep by the third inning.
I watched the Sunday game completely.
Okay. So you didn't watch Saturday night's comeback win, Julio walk-off hit?
I did not. No, I was not.
Oh, that was the best one. That was the best one.
For you, it was the best one.
It was absolutely for me.
That would have been me going to bed late and pissed.
Fun fact, that was Julio Rodriguez's very first ever walk-off in any sort of competitive baseball that he said.
Yeah. Seriously?
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen him walk off a bunch of times, but maybe not. Maybe it's...
No.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good. Good for Julio. Get that out of the way.
He he was 0-for-4 prior to that plate appearance, so he ended up 1-for-5. But it was the most important one out there. So
of course. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Yep. That's what I said. Go Mariners.
Yeah. What's the old saying? Stats don't matter when you win games. Is that a saying?
Yeah.
Or did I just make that up?
That should be. It is now.
Yeah. That sounds like something...
the old quote like a manager would say or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Royals are... They won tonight.
They won their Baltimore, second game. They
beat Baltimore. Yeah. I'll say this. They look better than they did last year, even though they've only won two games. They look more competitive, which is good. That's a good sign. It's a good sign for Nashville when Nashville takes them on as a team.
Be a real bad sign if they looked worse than last year.
Yeah. Well, yeah that would, that's
that
true.
Be good.
The bullpen is not good.
Well, you're saying nothing but starters. Like,
they can't get the guys off the bases, or they can't score with runners on base. That's their problem.
Yeah.
So that doesn't matter. Fuck the Royals. I'm so tired of this now.
If you had MLB, you would have quit already. You'd have been done. TV. Yeah.
I'm burnt out on this stadium thing now. Now I'm bummed. I'm bummed, Paul.
I get it.
But that's okay. You know, I was hoping to come on here and talk about how the Astros had not yet won a game.
Oh, that'd have been awesome.
Because they got swept over the weekend. And then what do they go and do? They get a no-hitter. Look what you've done, Yankees. I'm kind of surprised that came that early.
Yeah.
What's the earliest we've had a no-hitter? Have we ever had a no-hitter like on opening day?
Oh, I feel like that just happened recently, or like the second game of the season.
Did it?
Last handful of years.
Hmm.
So that was Houston's first win, the no-hitter. They were 0-4 prior to that.
Yeah.
Right now, currently, the run differential is 0. Even having a 1-4 record, their run differential is completely even.
This no-hitter was the earliest in MLB history.
Yeah.
There we go.
That makes sense. It was quick. I mean, fifth game of the season. That's...
And it's only that guy's pretty, like, eighth start of his career.
Yeah. That's annoying that it came from the Astros.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm.
Would have been better.
Absolutely.
You know, I can't remember the last time. I don't even think the Royals have ever had a no-hitter.
Oh, really?
Sorry, I'm just thinking out loud.
Ronel Blanco.
And he was only in the starting rotation because Verlander and, oh God, I'm going to pronounce this wrong.
Yep. Please do it.
Urquidy.
Urquidy. Close. Urquidy.
Are out with injuries.
Oh, okay.
He got the final spot in the rotation.
I think they're going to keep him around for a hot minute.
Yeah, good for him. That's a pretty cool thing to have.
That's taking advantage of an opportunity right there.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Who are the other hot teams this week? Who had a hot start?
Oh, dude.
There was one team that was like undefeated, I think. The Pirates or something like that?
Atlanta's pretty hot.
New York, obviously. The Yankees were hot.
Detroit Tigers are 4-0, bro.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah. That's pretty awesome. Brewers are 4-0. Pirates! Your Pittsburgh Pirates are 5-0.
Yeah. That's surprising.
I mean, they do this. They pull that, we're awesome for like 3 weeks, and then we're not.
Can you keep it up for 8 months?
No, probably not.
Probably not.
A lot of baseball left. A lot of baseball left.
Yes. Eric, what are you looking at?
I'm looking at the standings.
Oh, okay.
Dodgers are 5-2. Pittsburgh 5-0, Milwaukee's 4-0.
Miami Marlins 0-6. Killing it.
4-0. New York's Yankees are 5-0. Toronto's 2-3. That's surprising.
Well, they got no hit last night. I think they were the ones who had the no hitter against them. Good first week of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's on.
It's a go.
Let's do this. Should we talk about the movie?
Yeah.
All right. As promised, we have a little movie review for you guys. Eric, do you want to set us up? What did we watch this week?
What's the name of it?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Alaska Touching.
We watched a documentary called Touching the Game Alaska. Touching, and if you guys remember last season, we watched Touching the Game Cape Cod, which both of these are kind of in the same realm. They're in the same vein of documentary.
It's the same producer, isn't it?
Same producer, same director. Looking at them or watching them, they look exactly the same.
Very similar, yeah.
Exactly.
Very low budget.
Yeah, very low budget. The music is like local bands that you would listen to at like a dive bar on a Friday night. You know what I mean? It's that kind of shit. Like it works for the documentary, but
yeah,
definitely not highly produced. This one focused on the Alaska Baseball League, kind of in and around Fairbanks, Alaska. And it kind of centers around a number of players that have gone up to Alaska for the summer to play baseball. And these kids, they have to have been in college for 1 year and they have to have 1 year of eligibility left. So basically it's like a summer league for kids in college that they can go and get some more reps, kind of get prepared if they are trying to go pro. There's a number of leagues like this around the country. I think Cape Cod is the big one. Mm-hmm. And then Alaska brings in a lot of these kids as well. Kind of an interesting look at how these summer leagues work. This one was, I don't know that these documentaries are that entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Your dog disagrees.
Yeah.
Parts of it were kind of boring for me. I don't know about you guys.
There was a lot of long scenes of just watching a random baseball game happen.
Yeah. Like the first,
I don't know, 5 minutes of it.
There was no sound, but there was no like anybody right. talking over it or any music. It was just live action baseball. From these baseball games. You don't know what the fuck is going on. It's just like dudes hitting or...
You don't get the title card until 19 minutes into the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Which is fine, you know, and I don't think like... It's definitely not a major motion picture by any means. And like you said that you had to like order this thing off of eBay
for us to
watch
it. It's not on any streaming service. It's not, you know, I don't know if it was ever in theaters, but, you know, you can't even find it illegally. So I got a copy off eBay.
Well, we wouldn't get anything illegally anyway, never. Eric. No,
of course not.
Never.
But... we had to get the copy off eBay. Very low price, fortunately. Mm-hmm. I think it was under $15.
Okay, that's not bad. Yeah. It was DVD? Blu-ray?
DVD. I don't think this made it to Blu-ray.
Laserdisc?
Possibly Laserdisc. it's same guys that did the Cape Cod one. The interesting thing about the Alaska League is that it's during the summer, and so... They have daylight 24 hours a day mm-hmm. for a good part of it. So they have a famous midnight game where it starts at 11, 10:30, something like that.
Starts at 10:35.
10:35.
Yep. Yeah. And then it goes. Said,
you get a little bit of dusk halfway through and then the sun starts coming back up again.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really interesting to watch that because you could tell that it was getting... A little dark, like not like it's still daylight out in a sense, obviously, but it was weird to watch because then it was just like the sun was rising, you know, and it's 12:30 in the morning. Right.
They showed kids falling asleep in the stands and stuff.
Yeah, totally. Right. But it's a big deal for them up there.
They have a summer solstice night every year.
Yeah. There's like a big festival that goes on and all that kind of stuff.
Fairbanks has been the one team that's been in it every single year. Is that correct?
So it started, this whole thing started by a guy named Red Boucher is his name. It's spelled like Boucher, like Bobby Boucher, but I believe it is Boucher. He was a Navy vet who moved up to Alaska because... of all people, John F. Kennedy told him to move up to Alaska because he was like, at that time, he was fresh out of the Navy. Somebody told him he should get into politics. And at the time, JFK was one of the main politicians in the country, not the president, but on his way. And he was like, how can I get involved? And so JFK is like, you know what you should do? You should move to the other side of the fucking country in Alaska, because I hear things are looking up out there. I don't know if he's just trying to get rid of him or if he's like, you know, hey, help me represent.
As far away as possible.
Yeah, exactly. but Red moved out there and ended up starting a baseball team. And it was the Fairbanks. Shit, I'm going to butcher the name. What was the name of the team?
The Miners?
Fairbanks Gold Panners. That's what it was. The Fairbanks Gold Panners. And he started to bring in, like, this was 1963, 64, somewhere in that range, I think, is when he ended up getting it started. But this is kind of like the first foray that Alaska had for baseball players. And he brought in baseball players from California, all up along the West Coast that were in college.
But mainly there was the big USC connection, right?
There was a USC connection. Yes, I think that's what it was. Was it USC? Yes, you're right. USC. He brought all these players in, and I think it wasn't until a number of years later that they started another team. I think it was in Anchorage. Is that correct? Sure. Did I watch this documentary correct? Paul, it's super fresh for you, right?
Yeah. Yes, it was Anchorage.
Okay. So it kind of took a long time to get this thing going, Anchorage, in a sense.
Glacier Pilots.
Glacier Pilots. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
But I believe by 1974, they had officially created an Alaska Baseball League. And they kind of slowly added teams over time. And I think right now, like as of today, there are only like 5 teams in this league.
Correct.
Yes.
Because there's not, you know, there aren't a lot of major towns in Alaska for this to take place. It's not like Cape Cod where they can have whatever it was, 10 teams within a 6-mile radius or whatever it is. Here, it's a little bit different. So right now, I would
guarantee you that Alaska has the people in Alaska in those towns have more people than Cape Cod does. But I understand what you're saying. But Cape Cod is very small compared to.
Right. But the size of Alaska and the amount of towns that are in that area. I mean, like, Alaska is huge. And you've got to think about Cape Cod. There's so much around that area. Like, how far is Boston from Cape Cod?
It's about a 5-hour drive.
What's the closest big city to Cape Cod?
Boston.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Shows how much I know about it.
It's an hour if you take the ferry.
Okay.
But not many people do that.
Okay. Regardless.
Yes.
5 teams. There's been others throughout the years, but they've kind of come and gone because they just can't sustain a baseball team there. But it was, I don't know, I thought it was a really interesting look at life as a baseball player. And this took place in 2000, yeah. And the documentary took place in 2006, I want to say-ish.
Sounds I think what it's a little bit later.
Oh, 2009.
So they probably recorded like 2007, 2008.
Yeah. Okay.
Probably earlier, so I was 2006. Close. Yeah, you were close.
I think one of the most interesting things about this is that the players that go up there, they get kind of a weird opportunity to live in Alaska and like live, they go and live with host families.
Right.
Right. In their free time, they're going around and fly fishing or just like hanging out outdoors. The sun doesn't chasing go down. Moose. So chasing moose. Yeah. The sun doesn't go down. So they can like play a baseball game and then go and fish at 2 o'clock in the morning. And it's clear as day. Right. Which was the same, you know, it's the same concept that they had in Cape Cod League, obviously just in a different setting. The one thing that they do is when they play each other, they have to travel by bus. Right. But it's not like traveling a few miles down the road. It's like 10-hour bus rides that they have to go on.
Even a 10-hour drive on the mainland.
That was mainly when they went up to like Fairbanks, I think, right?
Was when they were traveling from Fairbanks to these other towns.
There's nothing in between.
Yeah, there's nothing in between. And apparently the highways have just recently been built. So a lot of these highways are going through like the mountains. There's not a lot of rest stops for them to stop at. So it's a long bus ride. A lot of the guys sleep, but the good thing is that you get to see Alaskan scenery the entire time.
Looked gorgeous.
Yeah. There's some beautiful scenery up there, obviously. It's a pretty, I don't know the term for this. Maybe rustic would be the right term.
Yeah.
As to how these things are put together. A lot of the baseball stadiums are built by volunteers, maintained by volunteers. A lot of the coaches on these teams come from other states, other colleges to just coach for the summer. They don't live there full time. At least that's the impression that I got. So it's really just kind of a summer thing that happens for these towns.
That was one of the best parts about it. Just the people, how hands on it is for just locals and what they're doing and their love of baseball and former players coming back to be coaches and help out however they can and. Yeah, getting the friggin' local townspeople to help build stadiums and whatnot. Like, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything is a community effort.
Absolutely. They were talking about that. Like, there's no sort of like main Alaska Baseball League office anywhere, you know? And so that's why there was, I guess, some resentment towards Fairbanks for a long time for being like the original team kind of thing, right?
Yeah. It was quite a bit different than the Cape Cod League in that sense. And I think that was one of the most interesting parts about it for me, was that there was a lot of hostility between these other teams, mm-hmm. because it was, you know, the first one was started by Red Boucher, and then it kind of grew from there. Anchorage got upset that Fairbanks had a baseball team that was way better than theirs. And so that kind of created some hostility, because Anchorage is the bigger city than Fairbanks, but Fairbanks had the better baseball team. So they're like, oh, fuck you. We're going to have, you can't have the better baseball team, you know, just that kind of stuff. And then, you know, over the years, there was just some bickering back and forth. One of the coaches like left a team and went to another Alaskan team, like right before the season was starting. So that caused some like hostility.
All the other teams refused to play that team.
Yeah. There was like talk of like poaching players, like, you know, things like that. And I don't know if we really got a full look at that. I think maybe that was, they were playing nice for the camera, but it seemed like there was some real like,
there is some resentment,
you know, for sure. Absolutely. which is kind of funny to see, you know. And these are not, you know, it's kind of interesting because the players that come through at the time, they're not well known, right? They're just college players. But over the years, they've had some pretty big name players come through and play there. Guys that have gone on to have huge careers. Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire. Mark McGwire started out as a pitcher. Not many people know this, and I didn't know this, but he started out as a pitcher, apparently. But when he got to the Alaska Baseball League, one of the coaches there was like, you know what? Let's give you some batting practice. And so he took batting practice and just absolutely was mashing the ball. And so they're like, we're going to let this guy hit. Like, he's
crushing it. You're now an outfielder.
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of funny to hear stories about that. But, like, there's tons of guys that have played. I mean, Paul Goldschmidt, Jacoby Ellsbury, Josh Donaldson, Randy Johnson, Aaron Jason Judge, Giambi. Jason Giambi. The list goes on. Kurt Suzuki, Dave Winfield, who was interviewed in this. They had a lot of interviews with at the time current MLB players. They're obviously since retired. I think Craig Counsell was one of them, and at the time he was playing for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And Terry Francona. Yep. So that was interesting.
Did some fishing with a volleyball net, I believe Terry Francona did.
Yeah. I wonder if riding his scooter back in those days. And one that I just looked this up a little while ago, apparently Mike Pereira. Do you guys know who Mike Pereira is? Who's like the, you know how on like Fox or maybe it's CBS, but they go to like the rules analyst.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's one of that. He's like a former referee or something like that. But now he's like one of the main voices on, I think it's Fox, where they go like, well, Mike, what do you think about this play? Did they call it right? Well, apparently he was a baseball player, so he went up there and played.
Doesn't he do that for football?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, he does it for football, but he was a baseball player at like Santa Clara University or something like that.
Okay, cool.
So a lot of big names have gone through the Alaska Baseball League. And it sounds like all of these guys have, or at least most of them that they interviewed, had fond memories of going up there playing. Seems like it's kind of a cool escape for them. Yeah. You know.
You know what they didn't talk about this time like they did last time was the jobs they had to have while they were playing.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that they had to have jobs while they were there.
They said they had to.
Did they?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I didn't catch that. I wonder what their jobs were.
They spent more time fishing when they weren't playing baseball.
They focused a lot on the fishing. Yeah.
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 But it was a cool look for anybody out there who is interested in catching this. Check it out. It's like an hour and 40 minutes. It does have some parts that are boring, I would say.
Yeah, I was going to say it could have been edited down to an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah. That would have been a solid hour and 15. There's a great cameo in this by none other than Miss Sarah Palin.
Who, do you notice they don't use her name?
They didn't say her name at all.
That's true. They didn't. They were just
very
like
special guest.
Yeah, they were like the most famous guest here is
from this town or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. You know, I don't know if you guys watched through the credits at all, but they were having like some interviews at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a scene, and I don't know why they didn't put this in the goddamn documentary, because it would have made it even better. Apparently there was like a plane crash that happened during one of the games.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys watch you see footage of this plane coming down? It's like a little bush plane, right? You see footage of this plane coming down. It's like going right over the field, and then it crash lands in a football field right next to it and like catches on fire and shit.
It's literally right behind the home run wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but thankfully nobody got hurt. That was crazy footage though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why they didn't include that. Like I would have put that at the beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, just warm them up.
Right. Welcome to Alaska baseball.
Yeah, Alaska. Exactly. Alaska. That's how they say Alaska. It out there. Alaska.
Probably.
So on eBay right now, there is one DVD available.
$36.99. Ooh, wow.
Nice. Or best offer. So if you're listening and want a copy, that's how you can get one.
Why don't you just resell yours on eBay, Eric?
Because I like it so much, I want to keep it.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe I'll buy this and try and collect all copies of it.
There you go.
Corner of the market.
Mm. There you go. but it was a good documentary.
It was fun.
I will give it a solid 7 out of 10.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah, that's legit. That's 7 out of 10 legit. If you're a baseball fan, you're going to enjoy it.
If you're not a baseball fan, well, A, why are you listening to this? B, you probably won't get much out of this movie.
Yeah.
But if you're a baseball fan, if you're listening to this, you would enjoy the movie.
For sure.
Yeah.
I would agree. I think you really need to like baseball, though. Because there's a difference between watching like the battered bastards of baseball and watching this. Because this is like, do you know what I mean? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. This is like down home kind of.
Yeah. It's both. Almost like home movies.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. But it's fitting with the Alaska League, that's kind of, you know, community driven, not fancy.
Mm-hmm.
It fits well.
Yeah, totally. So that was Touching the Game.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Anything else? Do you guys want to add anything else about that? About Touching the Game? Do you want to touch on anything else?
For a minute or for a second yesterday, I was looking for the Love of the Game.
Oh,
it's not called For the Love of the Game.
No, that's a movie.
I believe there's like a basketball movie called For the Love of the Game.
Were you going in expecting to watch For the Love of the Game with Robert Redford? And then you were like, wait, what the fuck is this?
No.
Okay.
Cause I was looking for the Love of the Game, Alaska. And that wasn't a thing.
For Love of the Game is a baseball movie, folks.
Oh, is it?
It is. With Kevin Costner.
Yeah. Oh, it's Kevin Costner, not Robert Redford.
Yeah.
Wait, what's the one with Robert Redford? Is that The Natural?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Classic.
For Love of the Game, directed by Sam Raimi.
Oh, weird. Wow. What?
What? No.
That is very weird.
The horror movie guy?
And Spider-Man yeah. guy.
Yeah. He's done it all.
Evil Dead and Spider-Man. And okay. For Love of the Game.
Quite the repertoire.
Maybe we'll get to that someday.
Yeah, I like maybe. It. Okay. Anything else you guys want to chat about?
We got no real news on Ohtani. Other than Paul's April Fool's joke.
Other than the April Fool's joke, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He is not going to be starting pitching left-handed. Although that would have been sweet.
That would have been really sweet.
He's kind of in a slump, no? He's not starting out the year too hot.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
His ex-teammate Mike Trout has started out pretty well.
Angels are doing all right now.
Yeah, I'm telling you, they're going to take that division.
Wow. No. Just stop, dude.
Wouldn't that be amazing? You get rid of Ohtani and then you start winning.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. Well, it's like they're kind of on a revenge tour right now, really, if you think about it. Because everybody's mm-hmm. just like, forget you guys. You guys are horrible. You don't know how to play baseball. Art Moreno's a jackass.
I saw a stat the other day that it may or may not be true. Maybe it was an April Fool's thing, but it was like Adolis Garcia has hit 26 home runs since the last time that Anthony Rendon had a hit.
Wow.
Because he hasn't had a hit this season.
Oof.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Another big name was hitless until tonight. Bryce Harper was hitless, and then tonight he hit 3 home runs, including a grand slam. So yeah. I'd say he was okay.
Hitless until tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I saw that he had 3 home runs, but I didn't realize he was big old Ofer up until then.
Yeah.
That's a good one to snap out of it.
Yeah, what's up with Harper? And then he's just like, well, fuck you. Nothing's up with me.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well,
yeah,
that's it for tonight, or today, this morning, whenever you're listening. I think next week, if it's okay with you guys, we're going to talk about some food.
Yes.
Because there are a lot of new offerings at these ballparks.
This is our annual tradition for the start of the season.
Yep.
Yeah, it's our annual food review. Even though we don't get to taste the food, we can still look at the food, understand the descriptions, and critique and or shit on some of the food offerings.
Lack of experience has never stopped us from reviewing something.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Very true.
In fact, I would say that lack of experience works well for us in this arena.
Agreed.
That's our forte.
It really is our forte, yeah.
Other than that, I hope everybody tunes in next week and go watch Touching the Game.
Do it.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.